Without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Later on in verse 16 in that same chapter, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." And of course, I made reference a moment ago to Matthew chapter 7, where it says a tree is known by its fruit. And the verses, if you just want to jot them down, verses 15 through 20 is where Jesus talks about, he's talking about false prophets. And, you know, he said they come in, and but they're ravenous wolves. And he said, you can't. He said, every good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Everyone and every tree, but every person is known by their fruit. So God expects us to bear fruit. And there are severe warnings even in the scriptures we don't bear fruit. This is something that God takes very seriously. Here's a couple other passages. It says in Matthew 12:33, it says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit." And when John the Baptist was out in the wilderness and he was preaching and baptizing at the Jordan, Matthew chapter 3 verse 8, it says the Pharisees and the Sadducees came out to, to hear his preaching. And he said, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." And finally, the Apostle Paul said, "So as to walk in a manner," this is Colossians 1:10, "to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, bearing fruit every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Bearing fruit is what mature disciples do. If we are fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we will bear fruit. What does fruit teach us? Fruit is a sign of life, right? If there's no life, then, you know, of course, there's no fruit. So fruit is a sign of life. In order for something to bear fruit, it has to have life. But more than that, it is an indication of health. Because if you take a tree, for instance, of course, you know, thinking about it in that sense, a tree could be alive, but not be healthy enough to bear fruit. So fruit is an indication of our, and again, getting back to us, it is a measurement of our spiritual health. Fruit shows us what's on the inside. See, you can, let me say it this way. You know, in the short run, you can fool others. You can even fool yourself, right? But over time, eventually, the fruit of our lives will reveal what is going on in the inner person. Fruit shows us what's on the inside. You can't hide that, right? Pressures of life and all these things eventually will just, and I've talked about this so many times, they will bring out what is on the inside. Next, fruit is a byproduct. And what I mean by that is we don't focus on the fruit. We focus on what is necessary to live a healthy spiritual life, and the fruit takes care of itself. The fruit will take care of itself if we're focused on being spiritually healthy. And last, and this is so obvious, fruit requires connection to the source, right? Jesus said in John 15:4 that I read a moment ago, a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It has to be connected to its source. So what is spiritual fruit? How do we define it? How quantify it, I guess you could say. And maybe the best place to start is, I'm going to spend a minute and I'll just, we could spend a ton of time on here. But I just want to look at the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Many of us are familiar with this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. There is a clear difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, right? 1 Corinthians 12 and other places talk about the gifts of the Spirit. The thing is, gifts vary from person to person, right? God distributes such, but the point is this, again, focusing on fruit. They all should be in evidence and in practice in our lives. I think that there's other ways to measure fruit besides just the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. I mean, that's a very important one, and that's, I think, where it starts, and we should focus on that. You know, do we have that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control in our lives? You know, do we have those things in our lives? But I was thinking about other ways that maybe when Jesus talks about bearing fruit, other ways that that would apply in our lives. What kind of impact does your life have on other people? That is, I think, that speaks to the fruit of our lives, the impact that we have on others. That is a legitimate measure of fruit. The fruit of our lives can be measured by the legacy that we leave behind. Our lives, I've said this many times, our lives are like a boat, you know, that goes through the water. When a boat travels through the water, it leaves a wake. And our lives leave a wake behind them. And it can be a wake of blessing, I hope. But it sometimes, in some people's lives, is a wake of destruction, right? There's a wake that is left with our lives, and that speaks about the fruit of our lives. Fruit is also seen, I think, in how we are, how we allow God to use us to lead others into a relationship with Jesus. That certainly would be one area of fruit. So what do we do to become more fruitful? Right? I mean, we can talk about it and say that it's important, and I think we can all agree on that. If the goal is to bear good, long-lasting fruit, if that's what the normal Christian life is as far as God's concerned, to be bearing fruit in our lives, how do we bear more fruit in our lives? So I'll just walk through a couple of things here briefly. I say briefly, it makes you feel better. Abiding in Christ, right? I started by reading in John chapter 15. And Jesus said in verse 4, he said, "Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Little analogy I've used before. We are, as a family, we are real Christmas tree people, okay? We do the whole thing, you know, every year, usually go cut down a tree and do the whole thing. And many of you, I'm sure, do that as well. I remember the first year we were married and we were living in an apartment, in Greece. And, so we put up our Christmas tree for our first Christmas together as a married couple. And New Year's or whenever we took it down, we had an upstairs apartment. So you had to go down a hall, downstairs, out the door. And that was before I think anybody had thought of Christmas tree bags, you know? Oh my gosh. It took a couple hours to clean the hallway, you know, of pine needles, you know, in that apartment building where we lived. And oh, it was a mess. It was terrible. But we are real Christmas tree people. And I make no judgments against who have artificial trees. You know, you can do it your way, we'll do it the right way. It's not a big deal, okay? All right? But real Christmas trees reveal something. They reveal a spiritual truth. When they are cut down and they are placed in a stand and they're set in our living room and they're decorated, they are pretty, but they are dead. They are dead. We water them, you know, to try to keep them going a little bit and such like that. But the simple fact is they are disconnected from their source. they are disconnected from their roots. You know, I know some plants you can cut up, you know, a shoot or whatever off and it'll grow roots and it can be, you know, replanted. And I know, you know, things can be grafted in and all that. And I'm getting into all that. The bottom line, a pine tree can't do any of that, all right? It's cut off. You can make it look pretty, but it is dead because it's not connected to its source. I am so thankful that we're not pine trees because we can reconnect with our source. If we find that in our lives there's something wrong and our spiritual life seems to be draining out of us, we're not helpless and hopeless in that situation. We can reconnect. But if we don't, there is no effort on our part that can compensate for the fact that if we become disconnected or if that relationship, that source, somehow that's strained or there's a block or there's a hindrance or an obstacle there. A life detached from the vine is dead. And the difference between us, again, and actual branches is that we can choose whether or not we're going to stay connected to the vine. A branch doesn't have that choice. It just grows until somebody lops it off, right? It has no choice in that matter. We get to choose. So as I said, if you sense, and I'll tell you, we all probably go through this, where you just feel like there's something lacking, you feel like something is waning in your life, check your connection. Check your connections. Close to Jesus. Keep that life flowing from the source. And know this, the devil will do everything to try to cut you off from that source. He will do everything to weaken that connection. Bible says in James 4:8, it says, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. You know, let's keep that connection strong. Good fruit requires good soil. And that, of course, is referring to our heart. Mark chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. One of my favorite parables, the parable of the seed and the sower. I'll read verses 4 through 8. Most of you are familiar with this. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some seed fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that springs up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. So good fruit requires good soil. So Jesus, in this parable, if you go on verses later, he explains each one, and I'll just do a quick explanation. Many of you are familiar with it. The wayside soil, that is the hard, trampled down pathway, laneway, if you will, around the field. And when the seed is sown on the good soil, some of it falls over there on the path, and it just sits there. It might as well be on concrete, right? It just, nothing can happen. And it talks about the birds, right? The birds come and they see that good seed just sitting there and it can't get any root in it and they eat it. And that, Jesus said in his explanation of the parable, refers to the devil. That immediately, and I always say this, you know, when you walk out that door, the devil's going to try immediately, even before you walk out that door, to steal the seed from your heart. The heart that is made up of wayside soil is incapable of receiving the seed of the word in its present condition. It's going to take a work of the Holy Spirit for that soil to be changed. Because this is the thing. It's not just about identifying soil. It's about how do we change it? Right? It's not just, oh, you know, he has this kind of soil and she has this kind of soil in their heart. It's like God is showing us this so that we can all get to a place of having soil in our lives. The second is stony soil. Where we go? There we go. Stony soil has, as I understand it, I'm no farmer type of person, but you know, you can understand it's pretty simple. There's enough of soil on the top that something, a seed can take root, it can begin to grow, but underneath it's all rocks. And so, you know, if someone's heart is stony soil, the roots can't get down. They get excited. See, these are folks, they get excited about the gospel. They may even make a decision for Christ. But over time, they don't bear fruit because the seed can't take root in their lives. They are all in about this Christian life so long as it doesn't require change, you know, in their lifestyle. They're all in as long as I can stay the same way that I always am. They're all in so long as nothing difficult comes their way from following Christ. This is stony, shallow kind of soil. Whenever tribulation or persecution comes on account of the gospel, on account of following Jesus, they check out. I'm done. I did not sign up for this. You know, I signed up for what they thought maybe was something totally different, an easier life or whatever. And when persecution and tribulation and such that Jesus talked about, when that happens, they're out. That's stony soil. Thorny soil, he talks about seed sown amongst the thorns. I don't think necessarily that that's bad soil. It's just there's so many other things in it. And it's not so much maybe that the soil, I mean, I guess you could say it, there's different ways to say it, that the soil is bad, but it's not that the soil can't support growth in life, it's just that there are so many other things growing in it. So weeds abound, thorns abound in this kind of soil. And Jesus says that those are the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. That's what makes up thorny soil. And we all know the nature of weeds and thorns, right? They just are prolific. They grow anywhere and everywhere. I think our daughter Tiffany once, I don't know why, whatever this conversation was about. But so why is it that a good plant, you have to do all this stuff and you have to take care of it and make sure the soil has the right amounts of this and that. And a weed will say, oh, there's a crack in the sidewalk. Let's grow there, you know? Why? You know, why is it like that? Why is it like that? It always seems that the weeds have the ability to choke out the good plants. It's never the other way around. And then there's good soil, right? That's where we all want to be. But these, the scripture says, are the ones sown on the good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And like I said when I began talking about this verse, Jesus didn't give this parable just for the purpose of being able to identify soil. He wants us to change. He wants to work change in us. So that's the kind of where I'll end here today. How do we change the soil of our heart? How do we improve the soil of our heart? And I'll give you a couple of things. Number one is repentance. The Bible says in Hosea 10:12, sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Breaking up the fallow ground to me is a picture of repentance. When our hearts are hard, when they're not good soil, when they're not bearing fruit, we allow the Holy Spirit to go in there, you know, as a plow would go into the soil and turn it over and break up that fallow ground. It is not about trying harder. It's not about making New Year's resolutions. It's not about turning over a new leaf. If we find that our lives are not bearing fruit as God would have them, this is an issue of repentance. You see, and this is a hard thing. Sometimes we look at things like this and we talk about bearing fruit, and you're thinking about it and you say, yeah, you know, I'm not bearing fruit in my life the way I should. You know, I'll try harder or whatever. And that sounds good, but here's the bottom line. Fruitlessness is sin. Amen? Fruitlessness is sin. It's not just, I've try a little harder, I'll do a little better. If we're not bearing fruit, it's the same as prayerlessness, right? Oh, yeah, you know, my prayer life isn't what it should be. I can do a little better. No, the way that change happens in our lives is by taking these things seriously and saying, God, this is sin in my life. This isn't just a little shortcoming. This isn't just a little, you know, wart or whatever, you know. This is something serious. You take these things seriously. And when we don't have those things at work in our lives, we've got to treat them as what they are. They are sinful things in our lives. You know, we can, when we define sin in our lives, you know, we think of these certain things and all, and those certainly can apply. When we're not bearing fruit and we're not doing these things that are very clear in the scriptures, and don't take that as a slam. Don't take that as, you know, I'm trying to hit you over the head. The beautiful thing about repentance is that allows God to change our heart. When we repent, when we align ourselves, and this is part of my definition of repentance, when we align ourselves with God, and with, you know, and we say, yes, God, I acknowledge that this is going on in my life, and we align ourselves and we repent and you know, ask for God's forgiveness and seek Him, and that opens a door for Him to do what only He can do. And I've said this so many times. Repentance is about changing our minds and getting aligned with God. God is the one that can change the heart. I can't change my heart. You can't change your heart in and of yourself. But through repentance, God can do a work in us so that we can begin to bear fruit. Second thing, I'm almost done. Pruning. One of the difficult things about bearing fruit is that it requires, you know, in the natural and in the spiritual, it requires pruning. And pruning, I remember years ago I preached a sermon about this, and I was saying, could you imagine if a tree could talk? Eladio, you know, you're on the farm and you're always probably pruning apple trees. I mean, I don't know if that's part of your job. You know, if you come up to that tree with a saw or chainsaw or whatever, you know, if the tree could just say, no thanks, man. Just, I'll try harder next time, you know? I promise, Eladio, I promise I'll bear fruit next year. I'll bear more fruit. Don't cut any branches off, right? If a tree could talk, it would not want anything to do with that process. Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch, listen to this, every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Those branches taken away, you know, even says in verse 6 in John 15, talks about them being burned. I believe the branches that aren't bearing fruit are not genuine saved people. I believe they're phony Christians. Now, I grant you, I believe you can be a Christian and not bear the amount of fruit that God wants us to bear, and He's going to deal with that, and He's going to prune us that we bear more fruit. But if there is zero fruit coming in your life, then you're not a child of God. God wants you, and I think He wants, you know, to draw you to Himself. But so when He talks about separating those that are not bearing fruit, you know, I don't want you to say, oh my goodness, you know, God going to separate me from His family, from His kingdom. No, if you're a sincere child of God, maybe you're not bearing the amount of fruit that you need to be bearing, and He will take care of that if you allow Him to prune. But if there's zero fruit coming from a person's life, then they don't know Jesus. Right? There's got to be something that comes from our lives. So, pruning is a form of discipline. The Lord's discipline. And discipline is never a pleasant thing, but we need to learn to be thankful for it. Right? God sees things that need to be cleaned up. They need to be removed from our lives. And it says this in Hebrews 12. It says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I want to ask you to stand, if you would, and just want to close with a couple of thoughts. I read a book last year. It's called Jesus Christ Disciple Maker by a guy named Bill Hull. And he said this. He said, a disciple, it's taken from John 15. A disciple abides, a disciple obeys, a disciple bears fruit, and a disciple glorifies God. And if you follow through that passage I read in the very beginning in John 15, you'll see those four things: abiding, obeying, bearing fruit, and glorifying God. Tim talked in the middle portion of the service when he was challenging us in this new year, and he said, don't settle. And I don't remember exactly your words, Tim, but it's funny because I had that really in my mind as I close this message today. Let's not settle, right, for the life that we've had, you know, good to whatever degree, you know, we've been serving the Lord, but never settle for less than what God has. Let's be bold. Let's look at our lives. Let's commit ourselves to doing what is necessary in our lives to bear fruit in our lives. And there's a parable it's in Luke chapter 13, and I won't take the time to turn to it, but the servant out in the vineyard, he sees a fig tree that's not bearing fruit, and he says to the master, to the landowner, he said, this tree is just taking up ground, and how about I just cut it down and we'll plant something else there? And what does the landowner say? He says, no. He said, let's give it one more chance. And let's, you know, we'll dig around it, we'll fertilize it, we'll do all this stuff. Let's give it another chance to bear fruit. And that is the heart of God for every one of us, whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether you're listening online, that God wants to bear fruit. And he's saying, you know, no matter who's saying, you know, cut them off, you know, cut it down, get rid. God's saying, no. Let's really focus on this fig tree, you know. Let's focus on this person and let's see if they can begin to bear more fruit in their lives. And I hope that represents and reflects your heart, that you want to bear more fruit, and that you're not going to settle in this year for the same old, you know, maybe it was good, like I said. I don't always want to, you know, I always kind of throw the previous year or our previous time under the bus, you know, oh, that was terrible. Well, not always terrible, but we know that we can grow and we know that we can do better. So bow your heads and I just want to pray, and I just want to ask again, anybody in this place, anybody that's listening via Facebook, if you don't know Jesus Christ, this is your time. God has created you with a purpose. God has and I know these sound like cliches, these are words we throw around, but I believe them with all my heart. God has a destiny for every life. God doesn't make mistakes. Your life is not a mistake. God has a purpose for you. God wants relationship with you. You were created to be connected to the source. You were created to be a branch that is connected to the vine. And that only comes through repentance and accepting what Jesus Christ has done for you. So just allow him to work in your heart and receive him and say yes. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. It begins with acknowledging your need and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you are saved, and I hope this resonates in your heart, and I hope it bears witness with you, that this would be a year of greater fruit in your life and in mine. Father, I pray through repentance, through allowing you to prune us, whatever it takes, God, that the soil of our hearts would be such that we would bear more fruit. Oh God, the last thing any of us want is to have a barren life, or a life that just has very, very little fruit. We know that you have done all this for us, that we could bear much fruit, and that our fruit would remain, it would endure, it would last. and would affect the lives of others. So I pray over each of us here today and those online. I just ask you, God, to move in us. And I pray that as we get before you, even this week, even today, whatever, whenever, and God, that you'd speak to our hearts and that we would be in a place where we're willing and submissive and yielded and surrendered to you so that we can bear fruit for your glory. By bearing fruit, Jesus said in John 15, bearing fruit glorifies God. I want my life to glorify God. And I trust you do as well. Let's bear fruit for his glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Have a good first full week of 2021. Let's make it a good and fruitful year in the Lord. You're dismissed.